This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
The Washington Commanders have come in second. They leveled down. The gauntlet was over. They got to play the JV portion of the schedule yesterday with the equally as inept 3-7 Dolphins. And in Madrid, Miami did everything they could late to give the Commanders the game.
They
didn't want to win that game. But neither did Washington. Someone had to, and the Dolphins accepted the gift that was the overtime interception in field goal range.
Yeah, two inept teams behaving ineptly. Two teams that are not very good, that have no direction and no place to go and aren't good at all, don't do much right, they were examples of that, right? You saw it. You saw wide open things missed. You saw penalties. You saw sabotage. You saw drop punts. Everything under the sun that showed you these two teams belong in the standings exactly where they are. Happened to be that the Washington came in second due to the terrible overtime moment for Marcus Mariota, but plenty to get into when it comes to that one.
Yeah, I don't know how to feel in the way of defensively they were a lot better, obviously. Some of the changes made by Dan Quinn clearly worked, although I think some of that may have been the level of quarterback play, the fact that the Dolphins aren't as good as the Chiefs or the Seahawks or the Lions or even the Cowboys offensively. But they tackled a lot better. I thought they did some new things in terms of wrinkles with the blitz. We saw a corner blitz off of the slot that we hadn't seen all season.
The Sean Springs Memorial Blitz, baby. We got it.
Got home for a sack on third down. They had three sacks that were drive killers on third down. So that was improvement. That felt good. They played NFL-level defense, which they hadn't done in a month. It was not as easy for Miami to move the football as it has been for their opponents. But at the same time, again, it's a 3-7 team that was coaching as if they wanted draft position. I mean, they're going for fourth downs instead of taking a lead, less than 2 minutes to go. They're running up the gut on fourth and goal a couple times from a yard away against the teeth of Washington's defense. The only thing they even do at a respectable level with size on the inside with Javon Kinlaw is occasionally turn away downhill runs. And yet, the Commanders, based on muffing a punt, based on throwing an interception in overtime, based on penalties at their own goal line a couple times, based on not getting in on a goal to go first and goal from the 5, getting to the 40-yard line with the chance to pick up a few yards and kick an easy game winner and electing not to. Ridiculous end-of-game sequence from this coaching staff. They just couldn't deal with all of the opportunities given to them. So while they didn't get blown out for the first time in 5 weeks, I don't feel better about it. I guess I should, because they played a competitive close game and they went to overtime. But when you played Detroit or Seattle or any of the teams they did like Kansas City and you lose by 20, you kind of go, all right, well, Washington's not that good. Yesterday was one of those, oh, man, Washington's really bad. And I don't know what's better.
It's hard to know exactly, as you said. Had a few. The fact that it was so easy for so often for Miami, like if they ran right, they were getting 15 yards, right? If they ran around that edge where Preston Smith was, it was Devin Achane was comfortable. He ran for over 6 yards a carry. Ollie Gordon, who's bruising straight ahead, no cuts, ran for 5 yards a carry. And that was with a couple, you know, as you said, and one type situations that they were going for. Guys are open. To me, it was nothing that Washington did well. I appreciated you saw some more zone coverage, I felt like, from Dan Quinn and company. But it was, you know, a ball was thrown to the wrong place, would have been a walk-in touchdown for the Dolphins player. I know part of that is football. Part of that is just kind of, you know, what happens to even good teams every week. But there was nothing yesterday where I'm going, this is high-level execution. This is improvement. I suppose it is.
It was better.
Because they didn't get blown out by a bad team. I mean, they did that to start this streak against Dallas. The week after that, they lost that heartbreaker to Chicago. But I don't feel good. So I'm with you in the sense that I'm irritated about the whole damn thing.
Well, as well you should be. It was better, though. Like, to say that it had nothing to do with execution, I don't think is fair. It was part of the pie. I mean, there are other ingredients. Again, you played the worst quarterback you've played in a month in Tua Tagovailoa. You played the worst team you've played in a month. You played in one of these quirky, strange games overseas in a stadium no one's ever been in to play football, and so strange and weird things happen. Like, all of this is true. But they allowed 3 conversions on third down, which was the third fewest since week 6. They allowed only 142 net passing yards, which was the best they've done this season since week 8. 2 turnovers on downs forced by the defense on the goal line stands was the most they've had since week 6 of 2023, which predates Dan Quinn in D.C. It was a 3-sack game for this defense, which they had not had since week 8. And they had multiple sacks in the first half for the first time since week 5. So the results were all better. You got to give them credit for something. I think it's true, though, to say some of its level of competition. Think about Dan Campbell. He takes over the play calling duties right before they play Washington. They go out and they score 44 points, and everybody's talking about how amazing Dan Campbell is as a play caller.
Yep.
Last week, they play the Eagles, who are playing at a Super Bowl level defensively, elite, upper echelon, top of the sport kind of defense, and they score single-digit points. It's a little bit harder in that situation, right? And so I think quarterback, team you're playing, part of it. Also, offensively, they moved the chains. They stayed on the field. They picked up third downs. They could run the football. They were ahead of the sticks a bunch. So they won time of possession. They dominated in the first half. They had a 33-19 snap discrepancy over Miami in the first half of the game. They out-snapped them by 10. They out-time of possession them by almost 3 minutes. And that's not even counting, you know, the end-of-the-game craziness. But I say all that to say, Danny, that while there were other things, I wanted improvement, I got improvement. So I could feel better about that. But this was the game on the schedule we've been pointing to for a few weeks going, all right, just get through the worst of it and at least you get the Dolphins, you get your win, and you go into the bye week and we can have a positive week of radio. By not getting this one, now it's a bye week, so you go 2 more weeks without a game. They're going to be sitting at 8 weeks, 2 full months without feeling a win in their building. That's a hard thing to deal with as a program. That's bad for culture. That's bad for organizational building. 2 months in a row without the feeling of a win.
Absolutely. And it's, again, it's hard to reinforce your message if it never works, right? Like when you're coaching a kid, you're going, okay, shoot the basketball this way, or this is how we throw, and then it doesn't work for them. It's hard for them to believe you. The same thing happens with pros. Like you're preaching one thing, and you've lost, as you said, every game for 2 months. It's hard to believe in it. I was trying to think about why I don't feel better at all. And I think one of the my sticking points in general with this staff or any staff or with coaching or a level of improvement to me, you're 100% right about the play, obviously, was. They were better against Miami than they'd been in previous weeks. Not enough to beat anybody of import, mind you, but it has been better. The late substitutions, the timeout wasting, the operational error to me is still so blood-boiling. So controllable, so simple, and they can't do it. I understand you're not as good when Mariota drops the ball in the bucket and it's Chris Moore on the other end and not Terry McLaurin. I get that. That's going to happen. You have worse players doing stuff. I can't forgive Zach Ertz jumping on a false start again. Again! That's the veteran! That's the calming force! That's the adult in the room! Can't figure it out. Again, another week of it. I'm sure more veteran rest days to come. The timeout on a 1st and 10 on their first possession, the squandering of it, the late substitution stuff, I just can't. That thing to me is so controllable, so basic. High school teams do it well. College teams do it well. Pro teams do it. If you can't handle it, you got to quit that no-huddle crap. If it's too complicated for you, do something else. That's the part of it to me. My mind is in a bottle. I'm not even boggled. My mind is in a bottle because of. I understand it's not going to be as good. But that, it's unprofessional. And this is supposed to be a professional outfit. Show me signs of improvement there. And it was as bad this week as it's been.
Yeah, so if we're talking about the entire operation and the team itself and the 10,000-foot view, well, I agree with you. I don't know that this was a step forward. In fact, I would say that categorically it was not. I was talking specifically about the defense.
No, that's fair. You're right.
The story all week was that the defense was a disaster, and Joe Witt had been removed of his play-calling duties, and he was no longer the coordinator, and Dan Witt, Quinn was taking over. And we all said, well, the Witt to Quinn jump isn't really going to mean much. The personnel's still a problem. And I think for what it's worth, while, again, there are variables and some context that needs to be acknowledged, they did some better things better on defense.
Yes.
Yes? But as a team, I feel the worst about the program, the worst that I have all season, honestly, because this is not getting blown out by an offense that's a juggernaut with Dallas or the gauntlet of the last three that were scheduled L's against an injury-ravaged team. It's a bad Dolphins team that did a lot of things to keep you in the game, that tried their best. They're not tanking by any means, but the competitive portion of their season is over, and I don't think Mike McDaniel coached in that game like a guy that desperately had to win. It was okay for them. They were going to play 110% and do everything they could snap to snap to win the game, but we're going to go for a 4th-and-1, and if we don't get it, fine, because we're 3-7. They did that kind of stuff all day long.
They did.
And Washington could not take advantage over and over and over again. But, yeah, when you lose to a 3-win team that plays badly and tries to give you the game multiple times, there's no reason you should feel better about the direction of this thing necessarily. I completely agree with that. You know, offensively, they ran the ball. That was good to see because they haven't been able to do that for the majority of the last month. They're starting to come out of those doldrums, I think. Chris Rodriguez was excellent, 5 yards per carry. That 17-yard run he had off left tackle where he bounces it right back into guard with really good vision and that almost Bill-like jump cut at his size, was ultra-impressive. He ends up on 15 attempts leading the team in rushes and yards. Mariota had a 44-yard run in this game on a 3rd-and-9 where it looked like they were destined to punt. And believe it or not, he's got the 4 longest runs of the season at quarterback for Washington.
That is wild.
Jaden Daniels' longest run is 18. Mariota's gone for 44. He's got a run over 30, and then he's got 2 at 22. But that was a big play for them. And as you said, the receiving position ravaged by injuries. It's too much Chris Moore. Jacoby Jones with a whip route. Ended the game, gets some 25 yards. But I thought this was the best we saw Deebo Samuel. 7 for 74 and a touchdown. So there were these encouraging signs, but just loser plays. Punt,
yep.
Muffed. You're getting the ball back with 4 minutes to go win the football game. Last year, they field that punt. They drive down the field and they win over and over and over again. I hadn't even finished tweeting about what an amazing defensive stand it was, how big the Von Miller sack was, one of the biggest defensive moments of the season. When the Dolphins got the ball, you were sure they were going to go take the lead. But the defense finally stood up. Dan Quinn was like running around on the field, high-fiving people and bear-hugging people and tackling random dudes I've never seen on camera. And next thing you know, Mikey Sanders still puts the ball on the ground. It's just a loser team right now. You know, Marcus Mariota, first play of overtime. You go to overtime. You get the ball first. You're going to go march and go down the field against this pretty pedestrian defense that somehow you've only scored 13 points against. 2 missed field goals, loser plays, and you throw a pick right away. It's just a bad team. That's what they are. I don't take pride in saying it. I don't enjoy saying it. This is a bad football team.
And they played one. And they played a bad football team that was mirroring them in terms of missed opportunities and the like. They're probably saying the same on Miami Radio this morning. But Washington out-batted them, right? That's all it was. It was a mistake from Mariota that I frankly wouldn't expect him to make. But that's kind of what happens when you're bad. You find a way to settle, right? It's like that water table. You find a way to get down to that level where the water's ultimately going to go. A player that you would count on otherwise, again, Zach Ertz, who it sounds like I'm picking on, I suppose I am, that play where he goes in motion, arrows a little bit like he's heading towards the corner, uses his big frame to then swipe across the face of the defender for that box out. They scored against Atlanta that way. They scored against Detroit in the playoffs that way. That's your bread and butter. You can count on that, oh, crap, he fell down. It, when you're bad, it's what happens. It's that snowball effect, to your point.
That play is their go-to. Bread and butter is the right way to put it. They have used that play on the goal line over and over, over and over and over again. It's their easy button.
Yep.
It's the Cliff Kingsbury doesn't have to worry because we got that one in the back pocket.
I mean, it's like stealing, honestly.
Because then he falls over.
A defender in that space cannot – you can't do anything. You either go through him for a pass interference penalty or you're trailing him, and it's a touchdown.
I will say, I guess, if you're looking for reasons to feel better after getting blown out for a month in a row and then taking a game to overtime and losing a sixth straight, a seventh out of eight, I thought finally we did see some coaching adjustments. You and I have been demanding, not even asking for, but imploring and begging to do something different. Try something. I still don't get enough under center offense, but there was a fourth and one where Washington goes under center and does their own version of like a spider two wide banana, and they get a play action, wide open tight end, coming out of the backfield, Colson Yankoff to move the chains. That was in minus territory.
Yes, it was.
Which tip of the cap to Dan Quinn. Last year, they routinely on fourth and short would go for first downs, even shy of midfield. They haven't done it as much this year. But to his credit, they did yesterday. They moved the sticks. They go get a field goal and tie the game early. I thought that was big. But Brandon Coleman's used in this jumbo look yesterday as an extra tackle. He mauled people. I just went back and rewatched the game before the Blake Butera presser. We're out here at Nats Park today, and the new manager of the Nats will join us at 3:30. The president of baseball ops, Paul Taboni, is going to stop by at 5, so we're excited to talk to those guys. But this morning, before I came over here, I was rewatching the game. Brandon Coleman was a pile mover. He was a people mover, like at an airport, man. He was pushing people around. Where has that been? I know they've done some three-tackle things, and they've had other players doing it, but we've been banging our heads against the wall, you and I, for a month going, why can't they run the ball? What else can they try? Why don't they go with some heavier looks and formations to get the pass game open? They're starting to do these types of things. And if we're giving them credit for a couple tweaks on defense, blitzing a little more from the corner position or doing some more exotic things the Dolphins hadn't seen, getting outside the box, I think on offense there are a few wrinkles like that that I like to get the run game going. It's 7 weeks too late.
Yeah.
But I finally got them going against type and saying, all right, this isn't working. Let's try something else.
I was texting you guys yesterday about this, where I find it they're in a can't-win position with me. I might have talked about football
Yeah, you're
games.
A lot of fun during games, well, I got to say.
I get that. I understand they're in a can't-win position in general. You can make your joke because they haven't won in a month and a half.
But you, when they win, you're mad.
Yes.
Because it's empty calorie wins. And when they lose, you're mad because it makes you angry and you're sad and they're not good enough.
Right.
And so when they make an explosive play, you're angry about it for some reason. But if they don't convert, you're mad about it. So we've reached that point of the offseason with you.
Yeah.
Not the offseason, but I guess that's a slip-up.
I would love the offseason right. to be right now. But right. I'm sitting there watching Chris Rodriguez run with authority, rip off stuff, and I'm going, on your roster, available for so many weeks, so readily available for you. It's like, well, I guess once the season's down the drain, now we'll give it a shot. I want my desperation. I wanted that a month ago when they couldn't run the football. Let's try that. I mean, listen, when nothing's working, you don't get to just stick with it, right? My barometer now, having seen it up close and personal, and a game viewed by the Detroit Lions who have aspirations of greatness. Now, granted, they're 6-4. They got their own struggles. But a three-point loss where they scored 24 points against Minnesota. Dan Campbell goes, we got to do something, man. This is unacceptable. I need to act dramatically and drastically to demonstrate something. Now, you could say he panicked, whatever you want to say. I don't care. When it's not working, our not working is different than their not working. Our not working is you can't manage a loud clap to get out of the huddle. Their not working is they scored 24 points against a division rival in a game they should have won. Our disaster was happening in real time, and it took the season being over for them to go, let's try Chris Rodriguez a couple times off tackle to see if that works. And then when it does, it's blood boiling to me because you had access to that player for a long time. If you'd exhausted everything, if you tried throwing the ball to Ben Sinnott once, if you tried some sort of different they tried some zone this week, and it was, dear Lord, guys aren't running free as often. Great. It's so irritating. And again, Part of it, there's nothing they can do for me.
But I would also say this.
I'm so mad.
The stuff you're calling for worked more this week, but they have done some of this with less success recently. Like, it's not like Chris Rodriguez hasn't gotten a carry in a month. I mean, Rodriguez, before he got hurt last week, was getting more carries than Bill.
Well, we didn't see Bill for three quarters of the game yesterday. Like, I'm saying, when you're after that Dallas loss, where the worst defense in the world shoved it on you, where's my overhaul? Where's my, oh, my God, panic, change, fix it? And we didn't see it until, again, the season was over.
Yeah. I mean, you go back to 3 weeks ago against Seattle when they got bludgeoned by 24. Chris Rodriguez tied for the team high with 12 carries and had 65 yards and a touchdown. So, again, I'm not sure that they did anything in that way crazy different yesterday. I think he just looked better and had more success in a more competitive game. But I get your larger point, which is too little too late, man. You rammed your head against the wall for a bunch of weeks, and you kept complaining that your head was hurting.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
So you just heard what Herm Edwards had to say about Jaden Daniels playing when he's healthy. Football players play football, man. That's what they do. He's right, by the way. Football players play football.
That's the nature of the football player. If you're not playing football, are you even a football player?
You're going to hear that a few times in the next few weeks from me.
I promise you that.
I will quote the ancient philosopher, Herman Edwards. Although I said Herman Edwards yesterday, and Brian thought it was the weirdest thing in the world, apparently. And Darius, you did too. It's his name. Did you think that was weird?
Not even a little bit.
In our pre-show meeting today, Ryan's like, huh, you know you called him Herman Edwards, right? And I'm like, who? Herman Edwards?
The person named Herman Edwards?
That was so strange.
I've just never heard him addressed as Herman Edwards on television. I've just always heard him addressed as Herm.
It's like Steve and Steven, kind of.
Sure. But when you never hear it, it's just weird to me, I feel like.
I've heard him called Herman Edwards a bunch.
For me, it's like you got to look up his Pro Football Reference page. If it says Herman Edwards, then you call him Herman Edwards. But if it's Herm Edwards, you call him Herm Edwards.
Right at the top, it says Herm. That's the one seed.
Right.
But
the one seed.
You can modify and say Herman.
I've heard him called Herman as much as I've heard him called Herm.
Have you really?
Yeah.
I won't co-sign that. I've heard Herm more than Herman, but I think both are well within the realm of fine.
It was as if I was calling him Theo. Ryan was like, you called him Herman Edwards. And I'm like, did I call him the wrong name? What did I call him? He's like, Herman. I'm like, that's his name. It's like, you called Hank Aaron Henry Aaron. Oh, no. I did?
But this is so different, though. Like you hear that often. I have never heard Herman Edwards. I've never heard it.
I don't know what to say to that. You've never heard that there are 9 Supreme Court justices.
You're right. I haven't heard
you
that.
You know, like, Herman Edwards is the person in question. I wish we could have asked him that. That would have been good. Like, hey, when I said Herman, was that weird to you?
Was it weird at all?
I don't like when people call me that. I'm Herm.
Because I would say for me, it's probably 8 Herms, 2 Hermans out of every 10 mentions of his name.
You know who I think called him Herman a lot, and I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure, is Mike Greenberg. Like, I can hear it in his voice.
On the Subway Fresh Take hotline, he'd call him Herman Edwards?
Yes, Greeny. I think on the Mike and Mike show, when they would have Herm Edwards on all the time when he was an ESPN analyst, I think he dropped Herman on him. Could be wrong, but I think that's probably where I got it from. But yeah, I think I was probably interchangeable with that a little bit yesterday.
Yeah, I never thought twice about it. I didn't leave going, you know who's a weirdo is Grant for calling that.
Well,
calling the man named Herman.
My heart dropped into my, you know what, my nether regions for a second because Ryan's like, do you know what you called him yesterday on the show? And I was like, oh God, no, I don't. Like you when you introduced him, you said Herman. And I was like, oh, thank you.
Oh, thank God. It's not a problem.
Oh, I said his name. Okay.
Oh, whew.
Wow. I thought he called
him like Purdue's Carson Edwards. Undersized point guard.
Yeah. That's right. We got Braylon Edwards on the Subway Fresh Take, whatever that, you know. No, I just called him Herman. But he says he's going to play. He should play because if he's healthy, he's going to want to play and the team's going to want him to play. And of course he should play because he's a football player. And what do football players do?
They play football.
They play football. What about the locker room? This was John Keim on with the Junkies on what he thinks the players, like Bobby Wagner and Frankie Louvu and some of the veterans that run the locker room, would think about Jaden Daniels playing, not playing at the end of the year.
First of all, there's 6 games left. If somebody is healthy at that spot and you're not playing, then they're not going to play. I think that's a tough look for the locker room, for others, like, you know, there are a lot of guys out there, and I think everybody understands his importance here. He's only played, what, like four games this year? I'm losing track of it now. But he hasn't played a lot. And
yeah.
you need reps to get better.
John Keim on the Junks for his Monday appointment after the game. I completely agree with that, by the way. Based on my time on a beat in a locker room for 4 years and just interactions with players. They want rules to be followed by everybody, kind of. Just, I think this is actually relatable.
Uh-huh.
A lot of the time I would say to people, don't compare yourself to football players. Don't try to put yourself in the shoes of an NFL player. It doesn't work comparing the NFL to real life. But I think this is one that might. Imagine in your workplace, your company protecting a buddy of yours from like getting sick by saying, hey, late travel, tough night. If CK came to us and said, Danny, we can't afford to have you lose your voice or get sick. We're going to give you 2 days off when you get back from Kansas City. Make sure everything's okay. Grant, we need you in early the next day. I'm kind of going, wait, what?
The hell? What? Yeah.
Danny's voice is more important. You know what I'm saying? I think most people can relate to that. Like, I'm laying my body on the line. Now, there are plenty of veterans, 30-plus years old, one-year deal, whatever. But if you are important to the team, Mikey Sanders still, building block longer term right now, with this Commanders team, which, by the way, it is hard to come up with a list for those guys.
This is the point I'm going to make
in
a second.
Could be another
here.
Segment that we should do.
Yep.
But it doesn't really matter. I mean, everyone in that locker room is putting their career on the line with every single snap. And if there's this healthy guy that they're just saying and treating as more important than the rest of the operation, we all know that he is. That's very different than treating him that way. It was a huge problem when Robert Griffin was here, by the way. When, you know, you're paying for his honeymoon and doing some of the things that the owner was doing and you're whining and dining him and he's coming to your house and all these little things, other players don't like that very much. And it hurt the relationship between him and the other players. So I think Keim's onto something.
So I know that's a thing, but it doesn't enter into the conversation for me at all. I don't care about that even a little bit.
And I know, not to cut you off because I'm going to tag you in a second, you don't care about this.
Correct.
I've always known that about you.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people may not. And that doesn't change the fact that it matters in the locker room and it's not fantasy football.
No, I understand that.
Go ahead.
All those guys are gone. Everybody that's pissed off is probably gone. There's a far cry from, and again, I'm playing him, so just keep that as the baseline. But there's a far cry from protecting the most important player and paying for his honeymoon. You could maybe sit him for a game or two and not give him ultimate special treatment that's ridiculous, where he and the owner are vacationing together, drinking Mai Tais in Acapulco.
But it's still just binary with players. Is he one of the guys or not? Is he being treated like one of the dudes or not? And from day one, to Jaden Daniels' credit, the reason that I think he is so beloved is all he ever has tried to be is one of the guys.
Precisely. So he'll handle that. He'll be the one of the guys or he won't be. Treating the special player like he's special, you know, the same way we joke about it now, where Jimmy Johnson's like, who was he talking about, Michael Irvin or Emmitt Smith? If he falls asleep in the meeting, I'll get him a pillow. You know, like, ha, 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 it's so funny. Well, they won, so nobody cared because they know where their bread is buttered. To me, you lost your privilege. You lost your right to be mad if you are this terrible with this awful of a season. I understand that's not how things work all the time, and this is a people business like anything else is, but I don't have any stake or time to worry about the feelings of somebody being butthurt who will not be here in the future.
But the majority of the players will.
I don't know about that.
I mean, they just will, math-wise. Significant turnover in the NFL, and we've seen it, can be, you know, 20 to 25 guys. There's 70 players in the building or whatever right now.
That's right with the practice squad. I think that'll change too, but I think it'll be roughly a coin toss whether you're back here or not, if it's just a random sampling.
But even still, let's say if they have a massive overhaul and half the players are back, that's still a big deal. I think that's one of those things where it sounds great, and I think it will resonate well with fans of the team that are mad that they lose and that players have not won. But like, this is not names that you're sitting or starting on fantasy, and how things go in that locker room matter more than we would want them to.
I understand that. And it's on a manager to look a person in the eye and tell them like it is. It's on them to be a pro. There's a lot of things that still have to happen. For example, I know we're not talking about the Wizards, but last night, in crunch time, it's very rare they're in a close game. They were in a close game against a pretty good team last night. No Trey Johnson on the court. No Bub Carrington on the court. No, I'm trying to remember one of the other young guys that wasn't out there. It was like a lot of CJ McCollum, a lot of Chris Middleton. A squandered opportunity for a rebuilding team. That you had a chance at guys to get close game minutes. Very rarely, usually you're down by 30. And that was squandered. Now, no one's going to care because it's the Wizards. You can roll your eyes and make fun of me, and that's fine. But my point is, it's feeding out of the same trough to me. Where someone will call and go, how do you tell Zach Ertz? He gives him the best chance to win. How do you tell him that it's not his job anymore? Very easily. You say, be a pro, do your job. Someone else is going to take the snaps because it's better for us long term. It's feeding out of the same trough. Zach Ertz, I guarantee you, is better than Ben Sinnott at football right now. I don't want Zach Ertz to play. I want Ben Sinnott to play. It's all part of the same thing to me, where if you're rebuilding and you're doing something that's different than what you set out to do because of the failures of the players that are here, you've lost your privilege. Be a pro. Stop whining. Go to work and do your best, and you're probably auditioning for somewhere else anyhow.
I think there's levels to it, for sure. And, yeah, there's going to be times where guys are frustrated by things, and even if they are going to be here, it doesn't really matter that much. Like, you're allowed to be annoyed by how we're handling things. That isn't going to be the first time in a team structure. But in the case of, I think this is one of those really deep-cutting player dealt with issues, like playing or not, resting a guy or not, competing or not. When we're all out here practicing all week and we got a game on Sunday and we're putting our bodies on the line, but we're picking and choosing who's going to go and who isn't based on who we couldn't go to sleep at night if they got hurt. But I'm okay if you get hurt. It's the egos are involved and personalities are involved. And I think Kime's on it, you know, that it would not be a good thing in the locker room. Now, you don't care about
I think he's right.
Right.
But it's something that won't enter my consideration.
But just generally speaking, I would say you care way less about the well-being of the locker room and the personality and the psyche as a fan on the outside, clearly, than they have to. And, if you could manage this whole thing just like a fantasy team with names on a board, you don't have to worry about the locker room. But that's a very real thing. That's your culture. That doesn't just change, and everyone doesn't just change their mindset when they show back up in May. Like, some of these things lead to scars.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores, or DSW.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Let's get to some breaking news here on the Commanders front. The team announcing just a few minutes ago during that interview that they have released kicker Matt Gay, who missed a 51 and a 56-yard field goal yesterday. One of the biggest reasons for their loss was not only the kick at the end of the game that would have ended it and won it, but subsequently before that, an even more makeable kick did not go through the uprights. Gay had only attempted one field goal prior to yesterday in the last three games that he'd played in. And I think that tells you there might be a lack of confidence. They're trying to avoid him in some capacity. Then he misses two field goals yesterday. So you're talking about three misses in his last six kicks. And over the course of the season, it just wasn't good enough. 13 for 19. And in a league, Danny, where 65 has become on the menu and 55 is the new 45, anything beyond 48 was an adventure with him. The reason I think it took this long, they gave him a record amount of money at the kicking position on a one-year guaranteed deal for a guy to sign in free agency with a new organization. No one had ever paid a player at that spot like Washington paid Matt Gay. So they gave him a couple of extra opportunities and a couple of extra lives, if you will. But they have announced within the last half hour they have released Matt Gay.
This is interesting to me. This reminds me a lot of when Rivera wouldn't do anything and just kind of sat on his laurels and then eventually said, the kicker's at fault, because it's something you can always change out. But I think you're right. The fact that it took this long was reflective of the fact that they gave him an awful lot of money, as much as anyone's gotten there for 1 year on the job, for more uncertainty. And it's a trade-off, right? I mean, a lot of times, I think he was pretty good at the kickoffs. I think their kickoff coverage for the most part this year has been really, really good. He's a part of that. Extra points felt more routine maybe than they have in the past. And, yeah, I mean, the range is something that's not there. It's just not. I mean, that's where I think, was it four or five of his misses this year have been from beyond 50. And at a time where it's more routine than ever to make those, he was not making them. So, you know, I suppose it makes sense. But it's one of those ways of doing something without doing an awful lot, if that makes sense. It's a very expendable, disposable position.
4 for 9 from 50-plus on the season, including 1 for his last 4.
Yeah.
But they had not kicked but 1 field goal beyond 50, you know, since the Chargers game prior to yesterday. I mean, they had just completely taken it out of the equation. And for so many of these teams, Danny, you get across midfield.
You're now in range or close to it.
You're basically thinking, all right, we could possibly stretch this guy's leg out at the end of the half if we need to, at the end of the game if we need to. They basically needed to get old school style to the 32-yard line to feel like they were in field goal range, which is quite literally 10 yards closer than a lot of teams right now. But I'm very surprised that they released Matt Gay. I got to be honest. Now, I guess going into the bye week, if you're going to make changes like this, now's the time to do it. And I'm not saying that they shouldn't have done that. But if it was a possibility, again, it's over now. The season is – we're at the work guys out phase of developmental part of this season at 3-8. So maybe they feel like now they can run some kickers through here if they need to and try to find their kicker of the future. But, man, the steadfastness with which they operated on Gay early in the season. Preseason was ugly. You know, training camp, after the first week when I was convinced they'd solve the problem because he was automatic for several kicking days that I was out at practice, right, starting with that week where they were at New England, I think, against the Patriots, and maybe it was the Jets, whoever it was, and then going into their first preseason game, you know, started to hear, man, he's missed a lot of kicks lately. Since then, it's been a constant question of Dan Quinn. And one time after another, he would just stand there and go, it's not a problem. We're fine. We have trust. We have trust. He never said otherwise. And then today they release him after 2 misses yesterday.
Yeah, and there's the rub. So it's before the bye week of time. I mean, there are free agents, names you've heard of, roaming around. Austin, I never remember if it's Siebert or Seibert, who was here.
Siebert retired early this year. I don't know if he still counts.
He's 29 years old, so he retired because nobody gave him a job. So who knows what they're going to do. They're trying some guys out, et cetera. I don't know. This is one of those it's a bigger – sounding move than it is to me. It's sort of like you can't cut every safety and linebacker that can't run with anybody. You're not going to cut every offensive lineman that misses a block. You're not cutting Zach Ertz for false starting a million times, but you can move on from the kicker. And it's kind of the refuge of the embattled regime to show a big action. Look at how big this move is. When in reality, you're just basically volunteering to be back on that kicker cycle.
But the numbers were really bad.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, we got to a point where, like, for a while you could tell me the kicking cycle is not better than whatever else there is out there, or sticking with him, rather. You go, I'd rather just have him be 10 of 12 than the possibility that someone's an upgrade. When you get to 13 of 19 and you're missing multiple kicks in a tight game and you lose because of your kicker, now I'm not so sure you can't do better somewhere else. And I would imagine whoever they bring in here, if they kick 19 times the rest of the way, they'll make more than 13 of them. It's hard to only go 13 of 19 in this league. To Matt Gay's credit, he had hit all 22 of his extra points. And the Commanders have a new kicker. Is this an upgrade? That's the question I've got for people at 800-636-1067. You can tweet us if you'd like to answer that question at Grant H. Paulson and at Funny Danny. If you look at the numbers, like, Matt Gay does have a resume that Jake Moody doesn't have. He's been in the league longer, and he's just had more success. Moody's pinballed around the place because he hasn't made enough kicks. And in his career at this point, you're talking about a guy who's made about 76% of his field goals. Matt Gay, toward the end of his career, has struggled, and yet it's still 84%. You say, well, Matt Gay can't make kicks from 50-plus. He's 4 for 9 this season. Last year, he was 3 for 9. Like, you got to be able to make them from 50-plus. Okay, except that Jake Moody in his career is 50%, 6 for 12, including being 4 for 9 from 50-plus in 2024. He hasn't tried any since. That's Gay-like.
Yeah.
So I ask you, did they actually upgrade? They got younger. They got cheaper. You've got a guy who hasn't missed a bunch of kicks for you this year. So I'm in on the move. I like moving on from Gay. It wasn't working. I like trying to see if you could catch lightning in a bottle with a former third-round pick who was great at Michigan in Moody. But I cannot make a statistical case based on his resume that he's better than Matt Gay.
No, I don't think at this point that he is. But I think your point is exactly right. In a lost season, this is a potential longer-term answer than another one-year wonder, right? Looking at it, I'm going to draw a very poorly made analogy. But when you watch somebody shoot a basketball, especially like with kids or guys who are growing up, Steph Curry, his shot looks the same, whether it's a free throw, a three-pointer, a logo three, half court, whatever. That's core strength. That just, it's the same fluid release. When you look at certain guys without range, Matt Gay can kick a ball as far as a lot of people on this planet, probably as far as almost every NFL kicker. But when you watch Brandon Aubrey kick one from 60 and Matt Gay kick one from 60, it looks like Matt Gay is ramping up everything he possibly can, is driving it as hard as possible, whereas Brandon Aubrey looks like he's about to fall asleep. Like he's hitting a flop wedge onto the green, and it happens to go 60-plus yards. Moody has that kind of leg, not like Aubrey. That's a bazooka. That's once in a generation. But Moody has, to me, the track record of having a stronger leg. At least that was the case in Michigan. It hasn't manifested itself in accuracy at the NFL level, but to me there's upside there where there was no upside with Matt Gay. Does that make sense? Like, you're hoping to squeeze the last couple of drops out of this versus somebody that was a third-round pick at one point because of how talented it looked like he was going to be as a kicker. Maybe he finds it. And if he doesn't, what are you going to do, lose? Yeah,
they're
no problem.
Doing what they should be doing.
Yeah.
And I am going to, again, endorse the decision. I think this is the right move. It's the right thing to do. If nothing else, you're a bad team in a lost season, and you went from a kicker about to turn 32 to a guy who's about to turn 26. So you got 6 years younger, and to your point, upside or no upside, you've got a guy who could sustainably be here for 3, 4, 5 years, and that's probably not the case with Matt Gay. So try it for the rest of the year. Cool. By the way, this is the eighth kicker they've brought in here. Now, all of those guys have not actually kicked field goals in games, but they have been overturning every stone and looking as best they can for their kicker of the future unsuccessfully, and so you may as well kick the tires on a guy in Moody who was, again, drafted in the third round because he was considered at one point in time the best kicker coming out in America. If you're wondering about this season, he's 9 for 12 with 3 misses. He missed one field goal against Washington in a 4 for 5 performance. I guess it was a 4 for 5 performance where his only miss was between 40 and 49 on a rainy night in Landover for the Bears, but he hit the game winner that night. So he went 1 for 3 at Seattle with one miss from 30 to 39. And how about a miss from 20 to 20?
The little chip shot. That's what did him in San Francisco.
It had to be a blocked kick. There's no way he missed an actual field goal inside of 30. So I'm guessing it's a block, but he had two misses there. Then he had one miss against Washington. His last game he played, 2 for 2 from 20 to 29, 2 for 2 from 30 to 39, and 4 for 4. So he's made 8 of his last 9 kicks. But this has to be to a Peters comfort thing. In the same way that he goes and gets Javon Kinlaw. Loved him coming out, helped scouting him, drafted him. Debo Samuel comes over from San Francisco. You know, they had that experience together. Robbie Anderson, familiarity. Peters knows the guy, brings him into D.C. Josh Johnson was in San Fran. Drake Jackson was in San Francisco as well with the 49ers. I mean, there are others probably, but just quickly, that's, you know, 5 guys that we came up with who Peters had some experience with. I think that you're there when you scout him. You've seen him kick in practice. You know about the kid. There's a lot of options. I wonder, did you go bring him in here because of his talent in college or because he was a guy that you knew and you could call? Like, which one was it?
Yeah, it could be a little of both, right? Where, again, someone that's 26, that's bounced around a little bit, didn't click immediately with that upside. Again, the it's probably stupid to draft him in the third round, but there's a point here that he was good enough for that consideration. I don't know that anybody else would have drafted him in round 3, but someone might have done it in round 4 or round 5. The fact that he's draftable at all as a kicker, instead of doing what everybody else normally does, which is go to the free agent pile and find someone you feel good about, there's an upside here, I think, still, that hasn't been reached yet. Whereas I feel like Matt Gay is a finished product. This is it. It's that. It's what we just saw. Pretty good, really good at kickoffs, I think. Extra points and stuff like that. pretty damn solid. It's going to be good. It's going to be even plus in that regard. Longer kicks, it's just not what everyone else is up to these days. You know, there's too much in this league of guys that are doing this well from 50-plus to sort of say, oh, well, it's not really a strength for us, and sort of have that be enough at this stage. 10 years ago it was, where if you had someone that was good from 46 and in, you go, you know what, that's a strategy. That makes sense for us. We can do that. We can live with that. That's not the case now in the new NFL. And Moody, I think, has a chance to join that group. And if he doesn't right away, I don't think it's that big of a bother.
Let's go to the listener lines. George is in Gaithersburg, wants to hop in on Grant and Danny. What's up, George? How are you?
Thanks. So what do you think of taking a shot on Justin Tucker, having him try out? I believe he's off suspension at the end of the month.
Yeah, his suspension just ended. You could bring him in now for a workout, to my knowledge, and add him to your roster. I don't have interest in Tucker for the remainder of this lost season, but I would actually absolutely bring him in this offseason if Moody doesn't prove himself to be the answer. So if you either get to the end of the year and you're releasing Moody and you're going into the kicker market again, or you just want competition because he was fine but you're not sold, then Tucker would actually be a real option for me in his age 36 season. The reason I say I'm not interested now is because of what we were just talking about with Matt Gay, who's going on 31, 32 years old. He's about to be 36 on November 21st, yep, in 3 days. I am not in the business for the remainder of this year in short-term fixes with veteran players to improve my product minimally for the next 5, 10, 12 minutes, 1, 2, 3 weeks, 2 months. I am in the business of finding answers for the long term. I'm doing that at tight end with more Sinnott, less Ertz. I'm doing it at linebacker with more Medrano and Ali Cajo, you know, less Wagner as the rest of this season goes on. I don't know if they'll do it that way. That's what I'm doing. And I'm doing it at kicker with 25-year-old Jake Moody instead of, you know, 35-year-old Justin Tucker, who's probably not long for a role. But when next year begins, you got $90 million to play with, you got a top-five pick, you're going to have a weaker schedule and hopefully a healthy Jaden Daniels, there's no good reason why they can't be back in the wild-card playoff mix right away. They should be next year. And so kicker becomes really important. And if you want to sign a guy like Tucker for a year or two, and if he proves he can be Justin Tucker before last season, because he had a bad year last year, then, yeah, I'm interested in that.
You go back the last 2 years for Tucker. And remember, no sample this year because, as the caller pointed out, suspended. But 7 for 16 on 50-plus. So it used to be this was the weapon. This was this league. He was Brandon Aubrey before Brandon Aubrey. As accurate as anybody in the league, in league history, and was basically going to break his own records each and every season from deep. That kind of went away his last 2 years. Then the suspension hit. And, you know, Baltimore didn't stand by him simply because I think, A, the skill set diminished, and B, you know, when you got enough bad press plus a diminished skill set, you know, wash your hands fairly well. So if he proves to you...
You think if he had a great season, he'd still be the kicker of the Ravens?
I think so.
See, I don't... My only argument is I just think kickers... The same way Matt Gay got cut when other guys aren't getting cut after the 2 missed field goals, it's just so easy to release those guys and move on and try to find somebody else. Now, it's not always easy to replace them and actually find somebody capable, but I think if you're a kicker and those allegations come up by that many women, it's over. They're just not going to go to the mattress for you. You know what I'm saying?
I hear that, but I think there...
See Brandon McManus, by the way.
Yeah, but I think there, the fact that he put in enough deposits over 13 years of what was going to be a Hall of Fame career, who knows now how he's viewed, honestly, but this was their special thing. Right there, they're in Baltimore, from the special teams coach that's now their head coach, that's not now, but has been their head coach for a long time. This is sort of taking on the personality of it, where nobody else cares about field goal kicker, but we do. This is our guy. The skill set, to me, slipped enough where they kind of went, yeah, it's not worth holding on anymore.
I was watching Monday Night Football last night, Raiders-Cowboys, and Daniel Carlson was kicking for the Raiders. He's had his worst year in a long time, but he's one of the better kickers in the league. And I was thinking about Jake Moody. Because Carlson, I believe he went to Alabama, if I remember. But he was drafted in the 5th round by the Vikings years ago. And he was terrible in his early weeks with Minnesota. And I don't even think he lasted more than a few months, and they cut him in season. He signed with the Raiders, and he's never looked back. And so many of these kickers, we know this story here way too well, when Washington's got a guy struggling, and then it becomes David Akers, and he's a kicker for the Eagles for like 12 years. There have been others, Sean Sweezum and Ty Forbath and Graham Gano and, you know, a litany of guys that have come through here and then second, third stop end up being reliable, quality kickers. Maybe they get the other side of the token finally, where the Niners drafted Jake Moody. They went through the growing pains. He bounced around, and then Moody ends up staying on with Washington as the 10-year kicker because what San Francisco saw was real. He just wasn't mentally capable.
You just weren't there yet, yeah.
Now, by the way, Auburn, another SEC school, according to Darius, is where Daniel Carlson went. Why do you think kickers that get drafted often do so badly? Because to get drafted as a kicker, you have to be incredible.
The Roberto Aguayo corollary.
Second round.
Yeah.
Jake Moody, third round. Uh-huh. Daniel Carlson, fifth round. Like, more so than undrafted free agent kickers who just hit the ground sprinting like Cam Little in Jacksonville or whatever. These dudes that get drafted so often are terrible. I think it's a pressure thing. Once you get drafted as a kicker,
Has to be, right?
It's got to be this mental, like, oh, I got drafted. I really got to show them how good I am. They use a pick on me, which most teams don't. But it seems like if you're drafted as a kicker, there's a better chance you're not going to do well for that team than you do. The only guy I can remember that had a hell of a career was Sebastian Janikowski, who was a first-round pick, believe it or not.
Should we forget that, or should we always remember that?
Amazing career.
Let's always remember that.
Still a gigantic waste of a pick as a kicker in round one. But how often does that happen?
It feels like a lot. If I knew why, I'd just say, hey, you know, I don't think a kicker should be drafted ever, by the way, just for the record. That's just never the practice I would do. But when there is a correlation at this point between guys that where they spend a pick on you and it doesn't work out for that team. So, like, to me, that's as big a red flag as there is.
But you know what's going to happen is Hard Knocks is going to distantly cover the Commanders fourth because they're the fourth most interesting team because even the terrible Giants have Jackson Dart and Bo Scadaboo and all these injuries to the star players and the blue tent and a fired coach. The Commanders, if you're ranking the four teams right now or the least interesting in their division, they're going to be the redheaded stepchild here for this season of Hard Knocks. And this should have been all about Washington, all about Jaden Daniels. Mm. Darius, do you have the trailer for Hard Knocks? Let's play it for the people. The drop today should have been a holiday around these parts.
What is it about these division games that just makes it different?
We've been waiting years for this moment.
You know what time it is?
Big NFC East matchup.
NFC East? Not like
it. Here we go!
It's the NFL. You're playing against the best.
What else would you rather be?
1, 2, 3, time!
How they react to adversity is a very important part of our process.
The expectation for win.
This team's gonna play hard. We're gonna fight to the end.
Turn up on the post. When you're climbing a mountain, you never look back. Ever.
Appreciate everything we got. You got your families looking at you, your friends. That's what it takes to do what we do.
I ain't no ducking.
All I need is discipline and focus.
Sounds fun.
Let's go!
We're building something special here.
Go on down like it's your last game!
What could have been? What could have been if I was sitting here today getting ready for the Commanders on Hard Knocks on HBO in a playoff push, battling for the division with the Philadelphia Eagles, who they still play two times in game that will be chronicled by NFL Films. I got Dan Quinn in the trailer. I got Terry McLaurin giving a speech straight out of a movie. And yet Washington's 3-8. They've lost 6 in a row, 7 of 8. And I'm looking at NFL Tankathon.
We'll be watching like a hawk.
Oh, yeah.
For different things than I thought. Like, I thought it was going to be what's prep look like among the great vibe as they're marching to the postseason as they're fighting it out, as you said. More difficult schedule, but I didn't think there'd be this kind of regression. Instead, I will be watching like a predatory bird at the boobery and the ineptitude. I want the conversations. Like, it was the organization's own stupidity where they released this video where Rivera's going, you know, if he's there, we could take Forbes. We really could. By the way, Emmanuel Forbes is playing well now, which is a hoot. But whatever. We could pass on Gonzalo's, the excellent football player, okay? And we could take this guy that's way worse in Forbes if he's there. They released that. Like, they showed that after the fact. Like, Gonzalo's is all world, and Forbes is on another team. And, like, now we know.
Well,
I want
that
all
video
of those.
Came out right after the draft.
I understand.
It's not like they knew Christian Gonzalez was great and Emmanuel Forbes was terrible. And
well, they sure as bleep didn't know.
They did not know.
So a lot of people that cover this thing did. But yeah, the point of the dude's story is I want to see it. I want to see the conversations. Should we do nothing? Yeah, let's do nothing. Do you want to change anything? Nope. Keep sending them up. Should we demote anybody? Nah. Should we trade anybody? No. This group's got it. Let's keep it all together and run it back again while we lose game after game after game after game in record-setting inept fashion. I'm going to be sitting there with a steno pad and a healthy set of pens. In case one pen starts to fade for a microsecond, I'll have another on alert 5. Just to make sure I take every note, I want to see who's responsible. And I want butts, I want names.
They typically open the first episode with like a Thanksgiving time frame. So while cameras have been rolling and they can pan back and see some other things, I'm sure. For the most part, I don't think a lot of what's happened to this point is going to be chronicled in the show. They'll do this get you up to speed thing with a few final calls and highlights in the first episode as to how we got here. But I don't think you'll get what you want if you want trade deadline behind the scenes and stuff. I don't think that was happening. It's going to be the rest of the year, but there's still going to be plenty there. Do we get some discussions between Dan Quinn and Joe Witt? Do we get to see how Joe Witt runs a defensive meeting and what that looks like? How attentive are the players? Do we get to see anything that is particularly revealing about how we got here beyond just injuries, which I am granting you is a big reason for this debacle of a season, but it's not the only reason, and I want some insight. Now, the teams have some editorial say on this thing, and they're not going to let anything go to the papers and go to print, so to speak, to be disseminated that makes them look bad. So it's not like you're going to see like some dude rolling into a meeting 5 minutes late who just woke up in the facility like he's you know, ready to get fined and doesn't know that they have a game that weekend, if that's the kind of loosey-goosey stuff that's going on in the building as you're punting down the stretch. But it's still going to be a better window into this operation than we've had at any point in many, many years with the Hard Knocks cameras rolling. But we've been robbed of what could have been an incredible thing. Can you imagine?
Yes.
If this was last year, just go back one season ago, to the amazing run and the content we'd have with those cameras in the building when Washington was New England.
Can you imagine the joy?
They were the team everyone was talking about. Can you believe this? You're one of this defensive-minded guy who's changed the culture and this quarterback playing at an MVP level. That was us. That was the Commanders 1 year ago. And yet we finally get Hard Knocks, and here it is, man. 3-8 with a bye week, and then you're going to be 8-point underdogs at home to the Denver Broncos with the best defense in the NFL. I am excited to see how they handle the Jaden thing behind the scenes. And I wonder if that motivates them to handle it publicly differently starting out of the bye. Mm. Do they just come out and say in the press conference, here's what we're doing, we're shutting them down for the year or not? Are we going to see meetings behind the scenes where they're talking about, should we play him, should we not play him, how healthy is he? Like, anything that informs into that storyline is going to be invaluable for fans and media alike.
Smart point. Yeah, I mean, that the whatever is at stake, and the stakes couldn't be lower, by the way, for a team with really legitimate aspirations that where the bottom has fallen out. But anytime you could put something on it where it's, you know, I'm not really that concerned about their internal struggle to figure out if Kane Medrano should get more snaps at linebacker, respectfully. You know what I mean? Like, that's not that interesting to me. What happens to Jaden Daniels is, like, that's compelling content. So you're trying to find a way to make a 3-8 team where, again, the bottom is falling out, trying to make them interesting. That's the best way to do it, right?
Well, and Daniels is nationally the selling point on this team.
Mm-hmm.
He is the reason they had all of the primetime games scheduled that they did. Thursday night against the Packers, Monday night against the Bears, Monday night against Kansas City, Sunday night against Seattle, Sunday night against Denver, standalone national game against Miami, Christmas Day against the Cowboys. They've got that Saturday night primetime game coming up still against the Eagles. I don't know how many that was, but I think I just rattled off like 8 standalone games. It's not because the network execs wanted to see Marcus Mariota throwing the ball to Zach Ertz on 3rd and 7. Everybody wants a piece of Jaden Daniels. So I would imagine he would even, with their season, be one of the stars of the show. It would be wild if they didn't involve him. And I would think he'd be game. I don't know if you saw this yesterday, but he is getting involved in a company to help better like market him and do some things off the field. The quote he put out was, "My focus will always be on football, but my team and I are excited to tap into opportunities that can help expand my impact off the field." And so he is entering into this agreement with 3 Arts to grow his production company for original media, business development, and equity-driven ventures. I don't know exactly what all that means, but a lot of these guys now kind of create their own content and produce their own videos on themselves and, you know, the off-season content or whatever. So he's joining up with some other players to do this, and I only bring this up to say, it seems like he's interested in that kind of thing,
yeah,
right? So why would you not be engaging with Hard Knocks and want to sit down and talk with them if this is a venture you're kicking off right now to kind of grow
your
brand?
It could coincide with that, yeah. I mean, it makes sense, by the way. These guys have such reach. It used to be you had to depend on external sources to enhance your reach, right? Well, now with all things social media, with your own channels that have as much or more reach as any mainstream outlet, you want to control that entire process. So again, it's not my favorite thing where everything about you is a puff piece that you produce, star in, direct, and have your team of sycophants tell you how great you are all the time. But still, you can control the access in a way that you never could before. That end-to-end part of the process, instead of saying, all right, I made a documentary, now I got to ship it to somebody or shop it. No, you don't have to. You can just put it out on any kind of channel you want.
Do your own content.
Any kind of YouTube, whatever. There's no limit to it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.